Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
It's our travel unit today. And traveling, of course, means going to some place you probably haven't been to before, usually for fun or for pleasure. And we're not really going to go that far today. We're going up to Korea, the southern part of Korea, in Seoul, which is the heart of South Korea.
It sure is. One of my best friends lives and works in Seoul, Korea, and I have been to see her. So I know a little bit about Seoul, but I find their language very difficult.
I do, too. It's so difficult, in fact, that I only know how to say one thing in Korean, 감사합니다, which I think means thank you.And, well, that's very useful if somebody gives you something in Korea, which I understand they probably do because the Koreans are kind of cool people, kind of laid back, but they work hard and they're really into sports. But I understand that they are, you know, really into their alcohol. Sometimes they drink a lot of beer and
stuff. Oh, yeah.
And get drunk and stuff.
So. Oh, yeah. My friend, who is a professor at a university there, was kind of threatened by her boss,
really?
Who was a guy that if she didn't drink, she just wasn't going to.Last very long there, they were going to fire her.
Uh-oh.
And then someone else stood up to the boss and defended her and said, leave her alone. But they drink a lot. In fact, some of their cartoons for kids, they have a lot of characters who are drunk.
Wow,
which is kind of weird, I know, for little kids. But yeah, they love their alcohol.
Indeed. Well, I've never been to Korea, technically. I changed planes there once, but that's not like actually going there.But most of the Koreans I've known are people right here in Taiwan. They're Koreans
who
come here to do business or study Chinese or whatever. But today we're actually going to Seoul, which is the largest city in South Korea, probably the largest city in all of Korea. So let's find out about Seoul, or Hancheong, as it used to be called in Chinese. Let's read the entire contents of today's lesson right now.A glimmering city sits on the banks of the Han River. It's a place of contrast, of hard work and hard play, glamorous diversity, and harmonious conformity, celebrity events, and daily routine. It's Seoul, a sprawling metropolis of millions, and the largest city in South Korea, and also now one of Asia's top tourist destinations.Seoul has been the capital of South Korea for more than 600 years and still retains some of its traditional sites and structures. Perhaps the most popular is Gyeongbokgung, the royal palace complex of the Joseon Dynasty rulers. The wooden buildings in the complex are painted in bright reds and greens and feature elaborate eaves in the vein of classical Chinese architecture. Here,Kings and queens ruled over Korea until the complex was burned down in the late 1500s. Rebuilt in the 1800s, it now stands as a prime example of feudal Korean architecture. The narrow streets and alleys of the traditional village of Bukchon Hanok are another popular site with tourists. Bukchon Hanok was originally a residential area for government officials.During the Joseon Dynasty about 600 years ago. Visitors can learn about the feng shui of traditional Korean homes, or hanok, here. Ideally, a home during this time would have been built with a mountain in the back, a river in the front, and considerations made for Korea's hot summers and cold winters. For a more modern experience of Seoul, many people enjoy taking a bird's-eye view of the city,from the 236-meter-tall N Seoul Tower. Many couples, especially tourists, take the time to hang personalized locks on the tower's fence to symbolize their love. Finally, to wind down, many people also choose to walk along the Han River at Cheonggyecheon. This river park is just the place to relax after a busy day in Seoul.
So today we're going to take a trip to Seoul, Korea. When you call a city the heart of a particular country, it's kind of where everybody goes. Seoul happens to be the capital of South Korea. And I know a lot of our listeners enjoy the Korean soap operas. They're also called dramas, soap dramas, but soap operas is what we call them. Let's describe first what the city looks like. It's a glimmering city. It sits on the banks of the Han River. If you're glimmering, it means you're kind of shimmering or sparkling. There's a lot of sparkle. There's a lot of light that's bouncing off the banks of this river. So it's kind of cool. Now, it's a place of contrasts of hard work and hard play.Glamorous, diversity, and harmonious conformity, celebrity events, and daily routine. So we've got a lot of words here that are describing the city of Seoul. Let's look at contrast first. If you talk about a contrast or contrasting city, you're talking about a place that has things that are very different from each other. For example, a really easy contrast, for an example, would be black and white. They're very different from each other. So you've got hard work, but you've also got hard play. How can play be hard? Well, if you really go out there and give it your all, you're playing hard.
Yeah, so they work hard, of course, producing those Samsung smartphones and stuff like that, and those Hyundai cars or whatever. And, well, when they get off work and they go out together, they don't just kind of sit around and relax and don't say anything. They actually play hard as well. As we said, they do a lot of drinking and probably chatting and stuff like that. It's also a contrast of glamorous diversity. Glamorous usually refers to when someone has glamour. Especially women, if they wear long gowns and they're very beautiful and wear lots of diamonds and stuff like that. Audrey Hepburn was quite glamorous in her day. Mm-hmm. And diversity means you got all sorts of different things existing in the same place. Racial diversity or cultural diversity in places like San Francisco or New York or Toronto or Vancouver. They've all got lots of diversity there. But also here as a contrast to that, they've got this harmonious conformity. Mm. Harmonious means everybody kind of gets together. Music can be harmonious if you don't hear any weird sounds and stuff like that. Like Mozart is very harmonious, whereas Stravinsky can be kind of difficult to listen to at times.
And we're saying here that although people conform, they do it willingly. There's a lot of goodwill. If you conform to something, we're talking about conformity. It means you obey the standards or the rules or the laws of that particular culture. So they all kind of get along. They agree to get along. Harmonious just means there's a lot of goodwill, good spirit there. No one's arguing. They get along. That's a good way to say
it. All for one and one for all.
Yeah. They also have celebrity events. I've listened to a lot of my Taiwanese friends talk about their boy bands that are so popular. I guess they have some boy bands that are pretty cute. And they're fun to watch and to listen to sing. If you're a celebrity, you're famous for doing something. Hopefully, celebrities have some talent. Not all of them do, but we hope that most of the celebrities have some talent. They have celebrity events where they might have the opening of a new department store. And so they invite these famous people, these celebrities to come. And you can take pictures and stuff. They also have just their daily routine, the things that you do every day would be your daily routine. You get up, you eat breakfast, you go to work, you come home. That's your daily routine.
And these are all different contrasts here. And, well, where is this place? It's Seoul, a sprawling metropolis of millions and the largest city in South Korea. Now, of course, if something is sprawling, that means it's quite big in area. Okay, it spreads out like Los Angeles is a sprawling city in the United States. A metropolis just means a really big city, which does include the city itself, but also all the suburbs around it. Mm-hmm. Like the Taipei metropolis would include Taipei and also New Taipei City, this kind of metropolitan area. And Seoul is quite huge. It's got millions of people, and it's the largest city in South Korea. And it's also one of Asia's top tourist destinations. So, of course, a destination is where you're going, and a tourist destination is where tourists are going. All sorts of tourists from all sorts of countries are going to Seoul because they want to check it out.
Yeah. So it's a fun place for a lot of people to go. If they're on vacation and they want to see a new area, they head to Seoul. Seoul's the capital of South Korea, and it's been the capital for more than 600 years. If you're the capital city, it just means you're the most important city or town in a particular area. And usually the government is located there. So we can call Seoul the capital. It's been the capital for 600 years and still retains some of its traditional sites and structures. That's true. That's fun to see these old buildings and old structures that they've kept around. If you retain something, you continue to have it for a long time. Some people are very good with languages. And even though perhaps they don't live in that country, they're able to remember everything they learned. We say they can retain the language for a long time. That's kind of a nice thing. I didn't have that. I forgot a lot of my Chinese after I went home.
It does happen sometimes, yeah. So you got to keep in practice. I could also say that it's nice that the Wanhua area of Taipei has retained a lot of its old buildings and temples. They're still standing.
Oh, okay? That's true.
So in Seoul, of course, it retains some of its traditional sites and structures. A structure, of course, is anything that's been built by humans. It could include a house, but it might also, say, include a monument or an old city wall or something like that. And perhaps the most popular is something called Gyeongbokgung. I hope I said that right. And what is that? Well, that's the royal palace complex of the Joseon Dynasty rulers. So, of course, if something's royal, it means it has to do with the kings and the queens and the princes and the princesses of a particular country. There's a royal palace, of course, in England, and there's a royal palace in Thailand as well because they have a king there. Well, they used to have these rulers in Korea, so the royal palace is still standing. It's a complex, which means there's not just one building. Mm-hmm. There are several buildings, some big, some small. There are all sorts of buildings together in the same area.
That's true. And it talks about Joseon. How are you saying that?
That's what I went with, Joseon.
We don't speak Korean, guys. The Joseon Dynasty rulers. If you're talking about a dynasty, you're talking about a family that is in power for a long, long time. So it's their line of rulers that just come from one family, a succession of people from the same family. So I guess the Joseon family ruled South Korea, or Korea, actually. It was just Korea before North Korea broke off and became communist. Well, the wooden buildings in the complex, oh, that sounds pretty, are painted in bright red and greens. They definitely like bright colors in Korea. And they feature elaborate eaves in the vein of classical Chinese architecture. Elaborate means there's a lot of design on it. It's not plain. The opposite of elaborate would be plain, not having anything there to like decorate it. So it's elaborate. There's a lot of parts or details to it. An eave, wow, you're not going to see this word for another 10 years. Hmm. But an eave is the part of a roof that meets or overhangs the walls of a building. So that's what an eave is. And notice we have multiple eaves, so you can make it plural. When you talk about something being in the vein of something, we're not talking about those things that carry the blood inside your body. Those are also called veins. This is not literal. It's figurative, and it's it means in that particular way or in that style. In the style, you could just put style in there. But we're teaching you a new word. You can use vein here instead because it's interesting. In the vein or style of classical Chinese architecture. Architecture, guys, is non-count. 不可数的. So you can't put an S on it, please, people. It's the art or practice of designing and constructing buildings. So actually, we're talking about the style of that building. The architecture is the style of the building.
It most certainly is, and that brings us to the time where we need to take a break and listen to our Chinese teacher.
Hi everyone, my name is Jenny. 今天我们看的是第四单元。好，我们要谈韩国，南韩的一个城市，它的首都，首尔。Seoul. 好，我们来看看，这个城市当然很迷人，现在在观光业上非常的发达，但是它的地理位置在哪里？还有就是，如果到这边来，应该到哪些地方去看看呢？ 首先呢，提到韩这个城市首尔，它的地理位置，它是在 the Han River 汉江河岸。这个城市本身充满着对比，那提到它的对比性，它提到了 hard work 相对于 hard play， 提到了 glamorous diversity 相对于 harmonious conformity， 还有后面又说 celebrity events 还有 daily routine， 这些两两对照都是一种对照性。还有更重要的是，这个首尔啊，它是一个不断扩张的大都市。好，我们看到一个重要的形容词 sprawling。sprawling 这个字哦，如果光看 sprawl 这个动词，它本身就代表 spread out， 也就是扩张、扩展、蔓延开来。所以你讲一个城市哦，它人口不断的增加、不断的扩展，你可以用这个形容词来修饰它 ，sprawling。那接下来提到它人口当然是越来越多，可是另外一点也就是我们今天介绍很重要的理由，它是亚洲最热门的旅游胜地之一。它旅游胜地那当然就是 tourist destination， 有时候我们会说 tourist attraction， 那就表示到一个地方有哪些观光景点可以看。我们看下面这一段，到首尔来，因为它成为韩国的首都已经超过了600年之久，那它还保留很多传统的建筑。那这里要谈一个就是景福宫，那谈到景福宫，这当然是皇室的宫殿。那这个皇室的宫殿，它因为是一群的建筑在一起，所以用到了一个字是 complex。 complex 这个平常我们把它当形容词来用，就是复杂的，但是它当名词来使用，在建筑来说就是一群的建筑，或者我们翻成建筑群。那提到这个景福宫呢，它是朝鲜的李氏王朝统治，大家如果有看韩剧的话，可能会比较清楚韩国历史的发展。不过我们这边的重点在于这个建筑本身呢，它的颜色也好，它的建筑特色也好，它带有的中国风。那其中呢，要谈到说建筑风的中国风格里面，提到了 elaborate eaves。 elaborate这个字很重要，因为在形容词里面它就代表的有这种精巧繁复，所以说它的屋檐非常的精巧，它讲是 elaborate eaves。
We're going to take a short break. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
Okay, let's continue. We're talking about Seoul here, and where we left off, we were talking about the Royal Palace Complex of Gyeongbokgung, and it's painted in bright red colors and greens, and it's got elaborate eaves there, just kind of like Chinese architecture. Mm-hmm. And here, kings and queens ruled over Korea until the complex was burned down in the late 1500s. If you set fire to something and it burns and basically disappears, we're saying you burned it down. Lots of old wooden buildings have that problem. They tend to burn down. Maybe somebody didn't put out their cigarette properly, or it got struck by lightning, or somebody built a campfire where they weren't supposed to, and the place burned down.
Yeah, those older buildings burn very quickly as well. They rebuilt it back in the 1800s, so that's cool. It's still very old. It now stands as a prime example of feudal Korean architecture. When you talk about something being a prime example, it means it's a great example. It's just perfect. So you can also go to a restaurant and order prime beef, which is really the best or the highest quality beef that you can buy. So prime just means a really good example of what we're talking about. Feudal Korea, we also had a feudal China as well. It meant that the country was actually governed by lots of different leaders, rulers around the country. It wasn't one country. They all sort of, you know, governed or ruled their part of the country, and they were always fighting each other to take somebody else's land.
And farmers did not own their own land. They had to pay rent to their lords and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And give them some of the crops and stuff like that. So that was a period of history in Europe as well as China.
True.
And I guess in Korea here. Well, the narrow streets and alleys of the traditional village of Bukchon Hanok are another popular site with tourists. Okay, so this is another area of Seoul. It's got these narrow streets, alleys, which are roads that go off the main roads. And Bukchon Hanok was originally a residential area for government officials during the Joseon Dynasty about 600 years ago. So a residential area is just a place where people mainly live.
Mm-hmm.
And cities are divided into these different kinds of areas. You've got commercial areas, and you've got residential areas and some other kinds of areas as well. Residential, as I said, is where people have their residences or their homes, but we have to go back about 600 years ago because this is where government officials lived during the Joseon Dynasty. You have to imagine things back then, people walking around in those funky Korean outfits and stuff like that. It was probably a pretty cool time to be there.
Yeah. Well, visitors can learn about feng shui of traditional Korean homes or hanok here. Ideally, if you could find a home that was just the perfect example, or remember we just learned prime, a home that was a prime example of the good use of feng shui. This home would have been built with mountains in the back. How beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
It would have a river in the front of the house or home, and considerations made for Korea's hot summers and cold winters. When you talk about considerations, you're talking about arrangements that would make their living more comfortable, because Korea gets quite hot and humid in the summer, but unlike Taiwan, they actually have snow in the winter.
Yeah.
And it gets really cold.
Yeah, so they'd have to consider where to build the house, whether it should face the sun or where the windows should be. Those are all different kinds of considerations for the hot summers and cold winters.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on now to the final paragraph of today's lesson. It says, for a more modern experience of Seoul, many people enjoy taking a bird's eye view of the city from the 236-meter-tall N Seoul Tower. A bird's eye view is like the view that a bird would have. Like here in Taipei, people go up to the observation deck in Taipei 101. In Seoul, you can do that at the North Seoul Tower for that bird's eye view.
Yeah. Well, many couples who go up there, especially the tourists, of course, from other areas of the world, they take the time to hang personalized locks on the tower's fence to symbolize their love. Oh, so you'd have to go maybe get a lock engraved with your initials. If you really had a lot of money, your name. I don't know if I'd want my name on it. But my initials, your initials, of course, is the first letter of your first name and last name. Or some people have a middle name, too. So you might put three letters on those locks for you and, of course, the person that you love. They would hang them on a fence. A fence is something that surrounds an area somebody wants to protect. There are fences around people's homes. They might have a fence around the presidential palace. We have a fence around the White House where the president lives. It's kind of a structure that's built out of wood or wire that surrounds an area they want to protect. So you would put your personalized lock on the fence, and it symbolizes your love for your boyfriend or your husband, something like that.
Indeed. And finally, to wind down, which means to relax and take it easy after a long day of activity, many people also choose to walk along the Han River at Cheonggyecheon. I hope I said that correctly. And what is that? Well, it's a river park, and it's just the place to relax after a busy day in Seoul. So that's where you want to go to relax, to wind down, and put a nice, pleasant end to a busy day of sightseeing. Yeah, it's a park there, and you can take a stroll there, maybe rent a bicycle or something, or sit down and have a picnic, and maybe have a serving of some Korean beer and a plate of hot kimchi.
Oh, kimchi is so popular. Here in Taiwan, it's really popular. I discovered on my trip to Seoul that they like spicy food.
They do.
In Korea, some of it's way too hot for me.
My favorite pao mian, or instant noodles, are always the Korean noodles.
There you go.
They're so tasty.
Oh, nice. Okay, guys, we're going to listen to our Chinese teacher, and then we'll be back to wrap up.
我们来继续看韩国首尔这个都市，它迷人之处在哪里？提到了景福宫，那说到这个景福宫，其实呢，它之前1500年16世纪晚期，它被大火给整个烧毁了，后来又重新再盖重建。那这个重建，看到这句话 ，rebuilt in the 1800s， rebuilt。它当然是一个过去分词，我们用过去分词，然后呢，引导一个这样的片语，就变成了所谓的分词片语。当然，它这样写有被动的含义，原来的主词就是后面同一个主词 at， 也就是指景福宫。换句话说 ，it was rebuilt in the 1800s， 但是我们不要主词了。不用连接词，然后呢，直接用过去分词来引导。好咯，再来下面这一段，我们继续来看还有哪些景点。这个地方是在北村韩屋，提到这里有很窄的巷弄，但是旅客很喜欢到这边来，所以它是一个热门景点。但是他又提到，如果说是在之前600年前的李氏王朝，这里那可是官员的 residential area。住宅地区，那在这边他如果观赏他的时候，可能重点就放在他的房子是叫韩屋。那提到了这里，说到韩屋啊，其实在这个时候，如果我要盖这种房子，应该照理是依山傍水而建。那看到这边的它的动词部分，它写着 would have been built with a mountain in the back, a river in the front. 为什么是 would have been made? 当然第一点它是被动，是被盖哦。那另外第二点呢，就是 would 后面它就要完成。所以说在这个语气上，它讲的因为是当时应该是如何，应该是会这样盖起来的。好，口气上要特别的注意哦。再来最后这一段，我们提到了北村的韩屋，那接下来还有别的地方可以去吗？除此之外，这边要介绍的就是首尔塔，这个也很有名。那首尔塔提到它的高度的时候，我们看到这边的206 meter tall， 好，我们看它中间有连字号，连字符号，所以我们其实呢常常在讲一个东西的大小、高度、长度、深度等等等，你有数字，数字后面有单位，那单位呢再来加起来就整个是一个复合形容词的用法了。但是记得哦，这地方的 meter 是不会加 s 的，因为你用连字号把它连在一起，那就是一个形容词了，所以不会把它当名词一样加上复数形。那我们今天的讲解就到这边结束，我们下次见。
That's all the time we have for today, everybody, but we're going to continue talking about Seoul in our next program, so make sure you tune in then. From all of us here at English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
Bye.